This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Vodun is an ancient religion practiced by some 30 million people in the West African nations of Benin, Togo, and Ghana. With its countless deities, animal sacrifice, and spirit possession, voodoo, as it's known the world over, is one of the least understood religions. In the United States, it's been sensationalized by Hollywood, demonized by Christian missionaries, and parodied in New Orleans tourist shops. Radio Expeditions, a co-production of NPR News and the National Geographic Society, traveled to Benin and Togo to learn about voodoo. NPR's John Burnett has the first of three reports.
In Africa, the word voodoo is used to mean simply a spirit. The elements and forces of the earth, along with dead ancestors, are considered to be divine beings. In order for mortals to achieve success and assure protection, they must worship and appease these deities. There is Egu, god of iron, Mamiwata, goddess of water, Sakpata, spirit of the earth, and Hevioso, the thunder god. African slaves brought the secret knowledge of voodoo with them to the sweltering plantations of Brazil, Haiti, Cuba, and Louisiana. 400 years later, in a region of West Africa on the Atlantic, once known as the Slave Coast, the headwaters of voodoo flows as strong as ever. Jean-Vierre Holunon is a tour guide in Benin and a lifelong voodoo practitioner or adept.
Voodoo is older than the world. We born and we come to see the voodoo. That's why through that song, they say that voodoo is like the marks or the lines which are in our hands. We born with them. Voodoo are in the leaves, in the earth. Voodoo is everywhere.
The gods of voodoo are at the heart of a festival that happens every year in the village of Gligi, 30 miles down the coast from Togo's capital city, Lomé. Members of the Gen tribe trek here every September to celebrate the migration of their forebears from Ghana 323 years ago. Festival is a family reunion, religious revival, and New Year's celebration rolled into one. The names of the chief deities, Mamakole, Atasakumo, and Atakapesu, are written on whitewashed temples shaded by mango trees. Men and women are dressed in togas, white for purity. Some have streaked their torsos with white paint for decoration. When a woman becomes possessed by a spirit, she convulses, slaps her bare chest, and calls out. Her sisters stay close, ready to catch her if she falls, or remove her glass bead necklaces if the trance gets violent. The beat of a talking drum and a cowbell opens a circle in the crowd, which then quickly fills with dancers and song. Amid the public spectacle, smaller rituals occur. Village elders from the nearby city of Anejo have brought their sacred drum, whose keeper is a stout retired police commander, Chief Lawson Bode Ishmael.
Ce tam-tam s'appelle Aklima.
This sacred drum is called Aklima. Our fathers chose this drum to give us power. We bring it out once a year, and when we play it, it announces the end of the prohibition on drumming for all the Guinea. This is the sound that gathers our ancestors. It may sound very small to your naked ears, but in the spirit world, it travels. Even if an adept of our clan lives in America, he will hear this sound.
There are mundane, earthly matters being attended to here as well. Celebrants are renewing tribal solidarity and working through the nettlesome business of living together as a community. Quarrelsome relatives and neighbors will reconcile, people will confess their transgressions, and fetish priests will be consulted for issues ranging from joblessness to infertility. But more than anything, people have come here seeking the sacred stone. Every year, a priest enters a walled forest behind the temples known as the Sacred Grove and returns with a smooth stone. Its color is believed to ordain the course of the year for the Gen population. By mid-afternoon, a handsome voodoo priest with long eyelashes and a turban has disappeared into the forest, followed by a gaggle of plump female acolytes. Outside the walls, a crowd of 5,000 waits elbow to elbow under the punishing equatorial sun. All at once, he emerges and holds up what looks like a small wheel of cheese. Sweeps across the Africans as they push and crane for a glimpse of the luminous white stone. Had the stone been red, it would portend bad crops and misfortune. But as an excited welder named Lesson explains, the color is white.
It signifies wealth, happiness, accident-free world. The whole world will be at peace. We'll have a lot of rainfall.
In this perennially destitute and ill-governed country, it would be something of a miracle if the promises of the White Stone come true. Life is a struggle for most Togolese, and the insurgency in nearby Ivory Coast is a constant concern. Still, the Gen can now begin their new year with hope. After the stone has been revealed, the elders carefully wrap the sacred drum, Aklima, in white cloth and carry it into a canoe. With long poles, they conduct the dugout across the placid surface of Lake Togo back to Anejo. As it passes, some women bathing near shore recognize the song of the drum keepers and join in. For Radio Expeditions, I'm John Burnett, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and the National Geographic Society. Tomorrow, what it's like to become a follower of voodoo. There are photographs and more on voodoo at npr.org. Mama, cha-cha. Mama, cha-cha. Mama, cha-cha. Mama, cha-cha. Mama, cha-cha. Mama, cha-cha.